Welcome to River of Life. Family and friends, we're so glad that you are here today. And we are staying on our topic today of better together. All right? However, we do have our proclamation cards. So if you are here and you've never received a proclamation card this month, it's proclamations on behalf of Israel. We are making declarations over Israel this month. And for some of you, you may know that the end of this month is the Jewish New Year. And so next week, Elder Jim is going to have a short presentation on Israel. And we're going to discuss a little bit about the New Year and what it means to the Jewish people, because the Jewish people are on God's calendar. See, we're on a different calendar in the United States, but we want to be in tune with what God is doing right now in the earth realm. So if you need one of these, would you please raise your hand if you do not have the proclamations on behalf of Israel? And Pastor Cheryl and the ushers will get them out to you. Anybody else to hand them out, this section here? It's good to see everyone. Nice to see you, Sherry. I didn't get around to get everybody a hug. Good to see you. Some people, we just talk on Facebook and we don't get to see each other in person. But we're glad you're here. We're glad Janice is back. She had some back trouble last week. And God touched her. We're thankful for that. Amen. God's doing mighty things. You know, He's on the move in our lives. And I get so excited to hear the testimonies and to hear how people are growing and receiving revelation and hearing the voice of the Lord. You know, the scripture says, I have no greater joy than to see my children walk in truth. And our spiritual children, our spiritual family here at River of Life, there's no greater joy than to watch you grow in Christ and watch you, God, do things in your life and keeping Him the focus and giving Him the glory. You know, we all have situations we're in, right? I don't think anyone sitting in this place today has had it easy. We've all come from some place, and we may be in the midst of something right this minute, but our God is watching over His children, and He will give us what we need if we obey. Is that right, Terry? That's it. You got to sacrifice. You've got to obey the Lord and what He tells us. But it's good, isn't it? And we are better together. Tell your neighbor, we're better together. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this time of breaking your word together. Let the revelation of the Holy Spirit be upon this people. We thank you for revelation and knowledge and understanding, Lord, to be our portion today as we study your word. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Euripides said this, real friendship is shown in times of trouble. Prosperity is full of friends. Somebody said that's true. That's true. You know, when things are going well, if you've got a lot of money, if you've got a great place to live in, or you've got a swimming pool, we know all about that. We had a swimming pool. We had more friends than you can imagine. You know, people want to be around when you've got something they can use. But when times are tough and you need somebody to help you, you find out who your real friends are, who's going to stick and stay, who's going to get in the fight with you. Lock shields together and stand with you. Because sometimes we're just too weak to do it ourselves. We've got to admit that. We all want to be strong and I've got this thing all together. But the truth is, behind closed doors, that is not true. And it is not, it may be true part of the time. But if we're honest, the other part of the time, we need help from the Lord and from our church family. Amen? Amen. Helen Keller said, alone we can do a little, together we can do so much. And that's what Minister Sonia said today. We can make our anniversary weekend as big as we want to make it. We can celebrate 23 years as big as we want to celebrate it. We've got a big facility. This bottom floor right here, I think, seats 800 people. Come on. Or more, Pastor Leonard said. That's not even opening the balcony. We've got plenty of room for your family and friends. All right. Alone we can do so little. Together we can do so much. And I'm excited, by the way, before I get into the word, about the IMA hosting their event here at the River of Life. The INA is the Interdenominational Ministerial Alliance. And we are a group of pastors with basically inner city churches here in Elkhart. And we are working with them, building relationship with them. We met the group when we were downtown and we were in the alliance for several years. We moved over here and we kind of got separated. But there's a little man named Brother James Jackson. And he kept showing up here saying, Pastor Janet, We need you and Pastor Leonard back in this group. You know, when are you going to join us again? And he would not leave us alone. He would not leave us alone. He'd show up any time of the day. Here is Brother James at the back door wanting to tell me about what's going on. And so he pulled us in. Hallelujah. And we hooked back up and we're so glad we did, because we had been praying to be connected with the leaders in Elkhart. Well, these men and women of God that run these churches, they are valuable, valuable people. And they know the word and they're teaching the word and they're mentoring and training. And it's just amazing. I love them and I'm excited for you to meet them. And so if you can stay for lunch, that'd be awesome. Service is at 3. Pastor Ola Washington is preaching that day. And we're looking forward to hearing from her. And it will be a great time in the Lord. So you be thinking about that to support the IMA. But I'm thankful that we're coming together and impacting our community. Because together we can do so much more. Amen? All right. We're going to get into the word. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to talk today about the miracle of the paralyzed man in the chapter of Luke 5. And it goes from verse 17 to 26. But we're breaking it down and taking it in short packages. So let's take a look at this first part of the verse and let's read it together. Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, you notice it says on a certain day. It identifies the certain day because this wasn't the Sabbath day. So this was a day of the week that Jesus was teaching on a certain day. When the Word of God is being taught, the power of God is always present to heal. The word of God is always present to heal. That word power comes from the Greek word that means miraculous power. You see, when the word of God, we're teaching the word right now. So the miracle working power of God is present right now in this place to heal. That word also means strength, mighty. It means force or especially a worker of miracles. Jesus on that certain day was teaching. And the Pharisees and the teachers the teachers of the law were just sitting by. You see, when Jesus taught, his word went forth and spiritually healed people. His word went forth and healed their souls, their mind, their will, and emotion. And he healed their bodies. However, there's this group of people that were sitting. What's it say? Sitting by. In other words, this group of people were not involved really in what Jesus was teaching. They were sitting by to hear what he was teaching because they were hoping to grab a hold of something that they could criticize him with or that they could use as an accusation against him. And let's think about it. They had come out of these cities. It says they came out of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And they were sitting by. So they were like this confederacy that linked together on the outside of what was going on to hear only to criticize. To hear but not be affected by what they were hearing. To hear but to reject the words of Jesus. So they were spectators. We don't want to be a spectator. But you know what? We can fall into the same category. We can sit and critique the word that's coming forward and how it's coming forward rather than just receiving the word. Have you ever heard the expression sitting under the word? Have you ever heard that expression? When we come into church, we sit under the word. The word of God is alive. Let's read John 6:63. Do we have the scripture up there? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So God's word is spirit and it's and life. And so as meditating on this, I thought, you know what? If something in our soul is dead and needs life, then as we listen to the word of God, it gives our soul life. If there's a disease in our body that is destroying our body, the word of God has the power to eliminate that disease and release life into that area of our body. It's quick, it's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, right? Psalm 107:20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So this morning, we need to ask ourselves, are we sitting by and being hearers of the word but not doers of the word? Are we just sitting by? Are we allowing the word of God to be effective in our lives? It's our choice, right? God does not make anyone believe him. We choose this day whom we will serve. You can choose life or you can choose death. God leaves that choice up to you. So let's go on. Just laying the foundation of what was going on that day and what Jesus was confronted with. But he was gathered in a house, must have been a large house, and there were people that were sitting at his presence receiving the word of the Lord, receiving what he was saying. So let's take a look at verse 18, and I titled this Dedicated Friends. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up to the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the mist before Jesus. The men wanted to take their sick friend and put him right in front of Jesus. They weren't interested in being with the group that was sitting by. You see, they wanted to push in and get into Jesus, but it was so crowded in the place, the men could not get in there. Now, we don't know how this man got to this place other than his friends brought him. Let's think a minute about this journey of these dedicated friends getting their friend who's paralyzed before Jesus. You know, when a person's paralyzed, they can't do anything for themselves. So this man could not do anything for himself. He was totally dependent upon someone else to do everything for him. Say, oh. That would be a horrible place to be in. I'm sure he was thanking God that he had dedicated friends. But we don't know where they picked him up. We don't know how long of a journey it was to get to where Jesus was. We don't know if they carried him that distance or if they had a wagon that they put him on, you know, a donkey cart or something, and took him to that place. But they were determined to get their paralyzed friend in front of Jesus. How determined are we to get our friends in front of Jesus that we know are paralyzed in the spirit realm, in their soul? They are diseased and they need to come before Jesus. A lot of times we're not even willing to go pick somebody up for church because we don't want to be inconvenienced. How willing are we to get somebody where they need to be? To get a touch from the Lord. You see, when we gather together, we are the body of Christ. We prepare the atmosphere. We prepare the atmosphere for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're a spiritual temple. God is in the house, and God is on the move, and God is ready to heal. He's ready to deliver people. He's ready to set them free. How desperate are we to get our friend in front of Jesus? How desperate are we? You know, it rains a little bit. People stay home. Snow's going to be coming one of these days. Oh, it's too snowy. It's too icy. People don't make the effort that needs to be made, the sacrifice to get to where the people of God are gathered and the Lord God Almighty's in their midst. Because we know we can't do it alone. We can't do it alone. We can't do it alone. There are times that people are so depressed and so discouraged, they won't even open their Bible. They won't even read a scripture. There are times people get in that situation and in that mindset. And there is no one that is an exception to that, because it can happen to anybody. It can happen to anybody. And it's not because they sinned. Come on. People will sit home, beat themselves up. I must be going through this. This must be happening to me because I sinned. Well, you know, sin is what brings death and destruction into our lives. So we do need to clean our lives up from sin. However, many times we are in a place, we are flesh and bone, and we are in a place where the Lord wants us to see how much we need one another. How much we need the body of Christ. I'm thinking right now of Brother James. The little man that would come in and invite us to the IMA over and over. He's having surgery this Wednesday. I want this church to pray for him. Pray for him because the doctors want to remove his leg. And so let's just lift Brother James up right now. Yes. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your healing power. Yes. to flow through Brother James's body. We thank you, Lord, for saving this leg. We thank you, Lord, for circulation to come into this leg. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God to breathe life once again into the tissue of this leg. Father, we cry out on behalf of Brother James and ask you, Lord God, for a healing miracle in his body. Save that leg, Lord, so he can be out and about doing your will in this city. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Let's say in Jesus' name, Brother James, be healed. We send a word from our sanctuary, healing and restoration in Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So these men carried their friend up on top of a roof. I don't know whose house this is, but I'm thinking that would be a job for Brother James to repair after they got done tearing up that roof so they could lower their friend down so he'd go right in front of Jesus. You know, you can only imagine the noise when they started. Well, they didn't have electric saws, so it wasn't anything quick and easy. They had to be up there pounding for quite a bit of time and removing stuff to lower this man down. And just think of the faith of the paralyzed man. Come on, let's think about it. You have four friends that want to lower you from that balcony on a bed, holding on to ropes. I mean, really, the paralyzed man had to have a lot of faith in his dedicated friends that they were not going to drop him or tip that bed, right? Amen. But they got him down right in front of Jesus. You see, they didn't let any obstacle stop them. How many times do we let obstacles stop us? You know, it's like, well, I guess we can't do that because of this, because of that. And we let that obstacle stop us. Yeah. Or somebody tells us, well, that'll never work. You can't do that. Right. Or you don't have money to do that. Yeah. Who do you think you are? You can't do that. And so right away, we let this obstacle just overshadow us. And you feel that in your soul, don't you? It just kind of brings you down. You're all excited about something. You really feel like it's the Spirit of the Lord. And then your family says, you can't do that. Look at the mess you are. And maybe we are a mess. But you know, God uses you in your mess. God uses you in your mess. God's not looking at the mess. He is looking at the value that he has placed on the inside of you. He is looking at the value you are to him as his child. We're his children. And we are to recognize him as a father that takes care of us. Many of us grew up with dads who didn't take care of us. And that causes a orphan spirit. And that orphan spirit says, I'm going to do this myself. I'm not going to let anybody help me. Because I can do this myself. I got to take care of me because nobody's going to take care of me. And it becomes a very independent person that is unteachable. And you see in our culture today, the enemy wants to destroy the family unit. He wants to eliminate the parents from full care of their children so that he can come in and use that on the kids. We have to be wise. We have to be wise. A dad is so important to a child. Can a woman raise children? Absolutely. However, God designed for a man and a woman to raise children together. And men bring in an authority and an order that, come on, ladies, you know, when dad gets home, everybody straightens up. They're the best kids That's just the truth. Because of that anointing and gift that God places upon men. Children recognize that. And we need that. We need that. We have a heavenly Father that watches over us. And His plans for us are good. His intent is never to harm us or hurt us. Contrary of what you might have heard. I remember I heard a person say one time, I broke my arm because God wants to teach me something. God does not go around breaking arms to teach you something. I mean, that is really punishment, right? Cruelty, child abuse. God's not involved in that. You know, we can get some really twisted thinking. That's why we need to sit at the feet of Jesus. That's why we need the Word. So let's go on. Jesus saw their faith, is what I titled this. Let's read this. When he saw their faith, he said to him, Man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, Your sins are forgiven you, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Wow. Yeah, we can give the Lord a praise for that. Remember, the Confederacy was listening so that they could hold something against Jesus. You know, who do you think you are that you're saying his sins are forgiven? And Jesus was saying, it's just as easy for me to forgive sins as it is to heal this body. By the way, I have the authority to do both, to heal sins and to heal bodies and to heal a person spiritually and set them on the right track, set them on the right path. Thank you, Lord. He'll do that for you. So Jesus has the power to forgive our sins and heal our bodies. And sin, we have to recognize, is at the foundation of all illnesses and diseases in human suffering. When sin entered into the world, we were born in sin. We were born in a sinful world. That's why we need Jesus. Tell your neighbor, we need Jesus. Tying this together with the function of spiritual oversight and leaders in the church, let's read, is James 5, 14 through 16 on there, or did I add that this morning? I probably added that. I'm going to read for you James 5, 14 through 16. It says, Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So once again, we see the importance of coming to Jesus to receive healing, to receive restoration in our lives. We come to Jesus by coming to the spiritual oversight that he has placed within the body of Christ. We come and we ask the Lord to forgive us, and we ask for healing. God will heal us. Anoint their head with oil. And the pray over them that they would be healed. I always encourage people, We believe in doctors, but we believe in the great physician first. And if we follow his order in Scripture, it says, call the elders of the church. I think most of you know who we are. And we pray and fast for you every Sunday morning. Our elder group has prepared themselves to pray for you, to lay hands on you. We are blessed to have such dedicated men and women of God who have given their life. They give up a lot of things to participate and lead this body. And so we honor them. And we honor God by obeying his word. So like we say every Sunday, if you have a prayer need, don't leave this place. If your soul is troubled, don't leave this place without having an elder pray for you. It's amazing what God will do. It's amazing what he does. And we don't have time to get into testimonies, but we have many in our church. So this is the last part that we're reading together. Scripture says, immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen some strange things today. So the healed man, he obeyed the Lord. He took up his bed and he walked. And I bet the guy could not wait to walk in his own house. And I wonder if his wife and kids were at home and he came walking in carrying his bed. Can you imagine? Your husband has been sick and paralyzed and here he comes home. Wow. Now these friends that were so dedicated, they knew they couldn't fix him. We cannot fix anybody. People are not our projects to fix. Nobody wants to be a project that we think someone's trying to fix us. A true friend knows how to get their friend to Jesus because he's the one that fixes. Amen? He's the one that can heal our bodies. He's the one that can heal our souls. He is the one that makes us whole. Those are the kind of friends that we need. And you know what? Sometimes when we gather together, some strange things happen. And you know, you may leave this place today and later on in the week, you'll think, wow, I am different. There's something different about me. You didn't even know it was happening to your soul, to your spirit. But you know, in the middle of the week, it's like, I've been touched by God and there is something different about me. You can't explain it. It's a strange thing. It's a strange thing. God does strange things. And what do they call him? Sneaky Jehovah? Because he's stinky about it. We don't even know he's doing it. Until we find ourselves in another situation and we're responding differently. Or we start talking about the past or something that happened to us and we're not crying our eyes out anymore. It's like, I think God healed me from that. You know, I'm not in grief about that anymore. I'm able to talk about that now. It's not that God causes you to forget about it, but he takes the pain out of that situation. That's what his word does for us. When we're sitting under the word at the feet of Jesus and not just sitting by, often when people hear a message, they'll say, well, I tried that and it didn't work. Those are the kind of sitting by things we want to be engaged into. It. It's like, Lord, your word works. Right? It works. But we have to work the word. So two questions before we close our message. I'm going to call praise team to come up. We're going to prepare to receive communion together today. Two questions. What kind of friends do you have? Are they dedicated friends? Are you connected with people that know how to get you to Jesus? And do you pray for your friends? Sometimes we get so busy, we're praying for ourselves and our situations. Are you praying for your friends? Those two things in this season of time, we need friends that know how to get us to Jesus. We need friends who know that we know we can trust them. Faithful, dedicated friends who are willing to go the extra mile to help you out. Those are the friends we need. And that's what the family of God should look like. I'm going to call the elders to come on up at this time. And they can receive their trays. And I'm going to pray before we come forward and receive our elements. And Elder Jim will be facilitating the communion and releasing us today. All right, a little feedback there. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you've assigned us to this River of Life family, a group of dedicated people, Lord, that are hungry for you and willing to go the extra mile for one another.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, for your blessing upon this service. Thank you, Lord. For touching each heart and mind today. Thank you, Father, as we receive communion together. Lord, we participate together. We're not on the outside looking in, but Lord, we are on the inside of Christ.
Yes.
Christ is in us. We are in Christ. So thank you for this opportunity.
You, Lord.
Lord, I pray for dedicated friends,
yes,
for our River of Life family,
yes, yes,
and our friends and guests that are here today.
Yes.
I pray, Lord, they find a home, a spiritual home, a church where they can connect with people in community, because community is what you have asked us to have, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, for all these things.
Thank
in
you.
Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.